I pray that you take charge and take complete control. And the further time, we surrender into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. So let's go into the word. Last Friday, the Lord spoke to us about the significance of an altar. And I told you, Psalm 50, verse 5 to 6, that verse says that gather to me all the saints, not all saints, but only the specific saints, all the saints who have made a covenant with me through a sacrifice, who have built up the altar and are active service at the altar. And I told you how when the altar conceives and gives birth to the authority of God, to the will of God, that God needs an altar to operate through. If there is no altar in your house, you may be a Christian, you are going to the church, but if you have not built an altar in your house, there is no medium through which God's will can be executed over your family. There needs to be the existence of the altar through which God can bring his word to pass. That is what we saw from the scripture. And then when you start to build up the altar, I told you altars are like wombs that conceive and give birth to the will of God, to the authority of God in your life, in your family, and in territories. And when that happens, the territorial power, the authority from the territorial or the authority from your ancestral limitation that used to rule over your life, when you build an altar and through the altar, the will and the power and the authority of God is birthed, what happens is the demons who had authority over your family and life, their authority is shifted, is destroyed, and it comes to, and it's submissive to that of the altar that you have built. Hallelujah. And I told you, the primary calling of a Christian is priesthood. Every Christian is called. It's not that, oh, Apostle Rahul, you know, I'm not called like everyone else. I'm just called to go in the church every Sunday, work and earn money. No. If you are a Christian, you are called to be what? To be a royal priesthood, to build altars, because altars are the medium through which God finds his expression to execute his judgment and will into a territory, into a family, into a kindred, into a tribe. That's why the journey of the patriarchs started with building of the altars. Abraham built four altars in his life, and the altars that he built, four main altars. There was another altar afterwards, but four main altars. And the altars that he built, through the altar, God was able to enter into those territory and make those territories subjected to the will of heaven. So I have already explained that on Friday in detail. But apart from the altar, there is another system through which God works on earth. Now you have to understand this God of heaven. Come what may, if you study the word of God very carefully, if you study the word of God very carefully, and if you observe something, God is a God who sits on his throne and he never leaves his throne. Even when Lucifer rebelled, God never left the throne. Afterwards, search the scriptures to find it out. The only time I see in the Bible where God left his throne to come down and see something was when the people were building the Tower of Babel. The Bible says they had one language and they came together, they were in unison, and they wanted to build a building, a tower whose top reaches up to heaven. When the question is about his throne, he will come down. But apart from that, God never leaves his throne. If the Lord never leaves his throne, how does he How does he manages the affairs of the earth if he does not comes down, leaving his throne? Okay? Now listen to me. Everything that God does on the face of the earth is by the release of his word. Is by the release of his word. Everything that he manages on earth is by the release of his word. He never leaves. Even when Isaiah saw the Lord, even if God has to go from one place to, like he was in the temple, in the tabernacle of Moses, he came down. But even when he has to come down, I don't have time to show you. He comes down sitting on his throne. He does not leaves his throne. The cherubims, the Bible says, carry him. Remember Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter number 10 or 11, I think. Ezekiel saw the vision of the four living creatures, and upon the four living creatures was a firmament, and upon the firmament there was the throne of God. Hallelujah. So even when he has to travel, the cherubims take the throne of God on which God sits. Mm-hmm. That signifies that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No one can take his throne. And listen to me very carefully. Let me, hallelujah, stay with me. We have not even started. Okay? But I am just laying a foundation of what we are going to listen tonight. Let's first go into a scripture. There are many scripture, but I will not go into all of them. Let's go first into scripture, into Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Verse number 20. Verse number 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from that destruction. What? He sent his word and healed them. If he wants to heal you, he will not come down to hug you. He will send his word from heaven. If he wants to deliver you from destruction, he will not come down. He will send his word. Hallelujah. And even Jesus, who came down from heaven, he was the word, he is the word of God. Okay? So that is the system of God. He sits on the throne. He will not leave the throne. But whatever he wants to do on the face of the earth, he will do it by the release of his word. By the release of his word. Now, there is a system that has to be set up on the earth that can catch the release of the word. And that can process the release of his voice, interpret it, and then move it into the productivity line to produce the results that his word purposes to. Are we together? Listen to me. What did I say? God releases his word, and there needs to be a system that is to be established on the face of the earth that can take a hold of that word that he releases. And then what he releases, it interprets and brings it to understanding. And after it comes into understanding, it can release it into the productivity line to produce the results of what the Lord purposed the word to do. Every purpose of the Lord comes through the release of the word. Every manifestation of the purpose of the Lord comes through the release of his word. Are we understanding? Even when David prayed to the Lord, God would release words. God would release thunderings. God would release sometimes the army of angels. That is how God is. God is a God who is high and lifted up, who sits on the throne. Who sits on the throne. I told you, hallelujah, who sits on the throne. Because that signifies that he has absolute authority over all the realms. Over all the realms, whether it is the realm of the earth, whether it is the realm of the heaven, whether it is the realm of the universe, that throne of God on which he sits. Through that, it signifies that he executes justice and he executes his will over all the realms of the earth. But the problem is, on the realm of the earth, Satan manipulated the elements of the earth to set up a throne of himself on the earth. Because when the Bible talks about the throne of Satan in the book of Revelation, chapter number 2, where the church of Pergamos was, there was the throne of Satan placed there. Hallelujah. And that throne of Satan, that prince of the world, is manipulating the realms of the earth now. Okay, stay with me. So what it says, Psalm 107, it says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from that destruction. Let's go to another word. Let's go to another word. Isaiah chapter number 55. Isaiah chapter number 55 and verse number 11. Later we will read verse number 10 also, but as of now, let us read verse number 11. It says, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Another word, which says, the word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall what? It shall not return to me void. That means, once God releases his word, it is impossible that it will not fulfill the purpose for which it is sent. Okay? It will fulfill its purpose. Listen to me. But there needs to be a system that needs to be set up on the earth that will function with this released word to fulfill the purpose and the results that the word wants to create or the word wants to manifest. The way the Lord will dethrone Satan is by the release of his word. But there needs to be a system. Again, I'm telling you, there needs to be a system that needs to be set up on the earth. I will tell you what is that system. That system are human vessels. That system exists in the human vessels. It is the hearts of men. And in the hearts of men, the system exists that can catch a hold of the word. Okay, stay with me. So it says, my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So, listen to me. Once God releases the word, after he releases the word, it will never return to him void. It shall do what it is supposed to do. It shall manifest the results, what it is supposed to manifest. There can be delays, but it cannot come back to him void. His purposes shall be accomplished. But the reason is, what is the system that should be set up on the earth through which the word of God can manifest in the realms of the earth? The system is the system of stewardship. Okay? Write it down. The system is the system of stewardship. Write another thing down. God does not work with owners. He works with stewards. God does not work with owners. He works with stewards. Okay? Stay with me. Who are stewards? Who are stewards? Faithful stewards are the ones who wait upon the master to do something. They are not owners, but they wait upon the master, either for the master to show up, either for the master to act, or either for the master to give them a word to act upon it. Those are faithful stewards. Let me take you to Luke chapter number 17. Luke chapter number 17. Hallelujah. So, see what Jesus is explaining through the parable here. Let us start from verse number 7. Luke 17, verse number 7. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? So Jesus is explaining stewardship. He is saying a true steward, a true servant is the one who will not eat. He will wait upon the master that he eats first. And when the master has eaten, and then when the master gives him the permission, when the master has eaten and permission, then he eats. It's an act of waiting upon the master to have the master do things. And that is the system of stewardship through which the word of God finds expression to work and to manifest on the face of the earth. Are we understanding? Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. Okay? Okay, a servant, like I am a servant to my master. I want to do something. For example, this is the master's house. This is the master's household. Okay, what I want to do is, I want to take this piece of furniture from here and place it there. This is my will. In this household. But this house belongs to my master. So let's say that this is a piece of furniture, big piece of furniture. I want to take it from this place, and I want to keep it in that place. Or, for example, I want to sell off this piece of furniture because I don't like it and buy another one from the funds of my master's household and place it here. That is what I want. But if I am a faithful steward, I will not do what I want to do in this household. Though I want to do it. But what I will do is, I will wait till my master comes. Okay? And if my master wills to do this, then at the command of his word, I will do it. That is a steward. A steward is a manager of the things of the owner. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. For you, for your human vessel and your human heart to receive the word of God and to produce the desired results that the word wants to produce, you need to have the attitude of the steward. Are we understanding until now? Okay, that is stewardship. When I was praying, I had to wait for this word for a long time. I had to keep my diary open and wait. Hallelujah. And when I have to wait for a word for a long time and it comes with a lot of fighting in the realms, I know God, the demonic forces don't like that word, that kind of a word. Okay? Hallelujah. So, listen to me. I have already taught on servanthood, on stewardship. But again, the Lord brought me to stewardship. I said, Lord, I already preached on the mystery of servanthood. I think I remember I preached it in K's meeting. We still have the sermon online. I preached that. So, I again preached it once with a different revelation. But I said, Lord, you are again speaking. He said, Rahul, listen. You don't know. The knowledge that I want to give you is deep. So listen to me. It's not what you know that I want to speak to you. So again, start to learn about stewardship. Hallelujah. This Bible, you can preach it for 50 years and you can preach every time you preach with a fresh revelation. That is how deep the sea of revelations of the word are Listen to me now. So the system that God wants to set up on the face of the earth for the reception of his word and the production of the results is the system of stewardship, the Lord told me. And he explained to me that steward is the one who will not do anything by himself, but he will wait upon the master. He will, I told you the example. If I want to do something in this household, I want to do it. I can do it by myself, but I will not do it. If I am a true steward, I will wait upon the master till he comes. If he commands it to me, then only will I do it. And the word of God, the power of the word of God does not manifest or does not aligns with owners, but with stewards. But with stewards who wait upon the master, who wait upon the master to show up. They will not do anything by himself, but they will wait upon the word of the master. They will wait upon the command of the master. Are we understanding? Remember the centurion that came to Jesus for the healing of his servant? And he told Jesus, I am not worthy for you to come to my house, but you say a word and I know my servant will be healed, because even I am a man under authority. I wait upon a master and I do things as per him. And that is why, because I am subjected to the authority and I am a steward, that is why when I tell my servants, do it and they do it, go there and they go there. So he says, because I am operating in the system of the stewardship, that is why my words have power. And when I say, it does not goes vain, but whatever I say, it happens. That is what the centurion was speaking. And Jesus said, oh, I haven't seen such a great faith in all Israel. That faith has many aspects. If I want to see, listen to me, faith has many aspects. If I want to take a detailed study on faith, I will take 1 month to complete that study on faith. So this aspect of faith that Jesus was talking about is the faith through the revelation of the Spirit, through the revelation of who he is. Hallelujah. He recognized Jesus as a faithful steward of the Father. And he knew whatever he says, his words have power. Whatever he says, because he is, what did Jesus say? I do nothing by my own authority, but whatever the Father tells me to do, I do it. Didn't he say that? Because he was the system on earth that could receive the word of God, and through him, the word of God could manifest and show its result, because Jesus was a faithful steward to his Father. Are we understanding that? Jesus said, my doctrine is not my own doctrine, but whatever I hear from him, I speak. You see that? A steward that waits upon the master. I know a man of God in India, and he is the most senior man of God in South India. And I also sometimes go to, God commanded him to build up an army. So he has training programs. He's there in South India. He has training programs. So I like to go there, you know, and few times I went there. And that man of God will not come out of his room. He will have his associates take the sessions. He will not come out of his room till the time he has heard from his master. He just waits upon the master. Yeah, he will not come out of his room to preach. He will not be seen there on the pulpit. But when he comes on the pulpit, the heavens are opened. When he comes on the pulpit, the heavens are just opened there. I have seen him. Hallelujah. He will just, people are dry and dull, but when he steps on the pulpit, people will shout in the spirit. They will be joyful in the spirit. The atmosphere changes. You know why? Because he waited upon the master's word. And when the master told him, go, he went. Hallelujah. And that man never leaves his place in South India. He's there where he is. He never goes to preach here and there because he is a, I know he has a, he's a steward. He's a carrier of an anointing in the nation of India. After some great men of God were there in India. Okay, steward. For the Bible says, the word that goes from my mouth shall never return to back to me void, and will accomplish in what I please, and it will fulfill its purpose. Hallelujah. Now, I told you, for that word to find expression and to manifest, it needs to have a system, and the system is the system of stewardship. Okay, are we together on that? Who are stewards? I told you, stewards are the one who wait on the master to receive from the master. For there are two things about stewards, just write it down. First is, stewards are the one who waits on the master to receive from the master. That's not it. The second thing is, then what he receives from the master, he acts upon it. Or in other words, as per the parables, he manages it. He manages it. Okay? Amen. I have seen Christians, they should have been on the 12th level now, but they are still on the second level now. The reason is not because God does not want to promote them and take them to heights, not because God does not want to, but because what they received, they never acted on it. Never acted on it. I have given personal prophecies, and I have told people, when the Lord gives me a word, personally, I tell them, you know what? This is what you need to do. This is what are the spirits. These are the people you need to get rid of, and you will move ahead. Ah, yes, 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 brother. Yes, yes, I will pray. I will pray. 3 years went by. They did nothing about it. They received something from the master, but they never acted on it. They received something from God. They never acted on it. When I tell you, you know what? These are the spirit in your family. These two are the people. These things are happening. And what you need to do? Yeah, brother. Yes, 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 brother. They never took it and acted on it. Stewards are the one who would wait on the master to receive from him. And then not only receive, but act on it. Remember the parable of the talents? The master came and gave all of them talents. Two of them worked on the talents, acted upon the talents, managed the talent. Now that signifies that managing the talent involves a risk. Involves a risk. And even acting upon the word of God involves a risk. Yes, when God came, when God's voice came, the word came to Abraham and said, leave your kindred, leave your property, leave your father's house, leave everything. Go to a land I am showing you. It involved a risk. And many people don't want to take the risk because they want to stay securely in their own circle of convenience. And that does not make them a good steward. Remember the person who said, oh, I know the master will take all the benefits, and he is a man who reaps of a field where he has not worked on. So I will bury the talent. I will keep the talent. Is a servant, is a steward that did not act on what was given to him by the master. There are numerous Christians today who have received from the Lord, but never acted on it. Never acted on it. Hallelujah. The Lord told them, I have given you a gift of intercession, of prayer. When you will pray, demonic realms will be shaken. But they never took time and effort to sharpen that gift of prayer. They never acted on what they received from the master. So the word that came to them the word of God that was released to them never found the manifestation of the results it wanted to produce through their vessel, through this vessel, because the system of stewardship was not in place. There are two important things that you need to realize in the system of stewardship. One is, a steward waits on the master. If he does not act, he will stay there. But if he acts, if he releases something, he will receive it. And second, he will act upon the received word. He will act upon the received talent. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Some Christians are at the same level. I have seen a church. The church is going on from 10 years. And all the same people are sitting in that church from 10 years doing nothing. But only hearing the same pastor from 10 years doing nothing. There is not a system of stewardship in that body of Christ that can receive the word and manifest it. If there is a, listen to me, if there is a system of stewardship in place, there will be a persistent and consistent production of fruits that will appear through the word that was given. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay. Say with me. The Lord will give you the word, but if you don't act upon it, the days of famine will eat you up. We will come to that revelation, because the Lord took me to the dream of Pharaoh to explain me that. What did I say? The Lord give you the word. Remember the word. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest so that he might send laborers in the field. Okay, I will explain you that, but stay with me. I will explain you that scripture. So the Lord will give you the word, but if you don't act upon it, the days of famine, what? Will eat you up. The Lord will give you the manna, but if you don't eat it, the next day it will get spoiled. Acting on the word of God. In 2019, when the Lord told me, get into full-time ministry, I left the job. I knew I had to act on the word. I knew I had to act on the word. Otherwise, the word that was sent from heaven and the word that you wants to use me to manifest the results of God, desired results in the heart of God, will not be able to do so with my life if I did not become a steward to act on the word of God. Hallelujah. The Lord told me when I was praying, I went into full-time ministry. But after that, some things arose and I was praying in the church. Something arose. I preached the sermon. I stood there in the church. People started to fall down under the anointing. Insecurity started to build up. The people did not want that to happen in that church because, and all those things happened. So I was praying. I saw a vision. In the vision, I saw a den. And on the den, there was an X sign with two planks of wood. And inside that cave, I saw a lion. But even as I was seeing that vision, I saw the lion breaking that X wood plank and coming out of the den into the jungle and roaring in the jungle. And when I saw the vision, the Holy Spirit came and he said, release the word of heaven. And he said, it's time for you to leave this place. This is the den that will keep you closed. You need to go out in the fields. The word came to me. So I received the word. And then I had to act upon the word. Though it may be, oh, this person is doing this, this person, irrespective of the opinions of men, I had to act upon the received word. People don't act upon the received word. God is already trying to speak to you, but you are not acting upon your received word. Some people are so slow. I know. You know, sometimes because God is not able to speak to them, he gives me the word. And then I say, God, do you want me Do you want to make me bad in front of them because they don't like your word? He says, no, you have to speak to them. I tell you, know, brother, this is the problem. And God told me this clearly, showed me this. Yeah, I said, you don't have to pray. What I am saying is God. It's the will of God. It's the word of God. Take it or leave it. Oh, brother, I will pray. 3 years, they are still praying. What? They don't pray about it. If Christians don't want to do it, the sentence they will use, brother, I'm praying about it. Oh God, hallelujah. Yeah, I am. If someone told you something, you don't want to do it, you know in your heart you will not do it. What you will tell that person? Oh, no, I will pray. I will pray and see. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Listen to me. And that's why the word that was sent from heaven never was able to find its manifestation through your vessel because you did not align to the system of stewardship. Never aligned to the system of stewardship. Hallelujah. There are people who know that when I gave them the word, it actually happened. 7 to 10 times it happened. But still, after that, when I tell them, no, I will pray about it. So God, you know what? It's very difficult for the master to deal with the sheep. With the sheep, I know that. It's very difficult. And it's very difficult for Jesus to deal with human beings. It's very difficult, I'm telling you. There is a lot of pain in his heart. There is a lot of pain in his heart. But still he bears with us. Still he bears with us. He wants to accomplish something through the word. But we are the people who never act upon the word of God for it to manifest. Okay, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead. So what did I say? He gives you the manna, but if you don't eat it, it will be spoiled. It will be spoiled the next day. So you need to act upon the manna. You need to act upon the received word. Let me come to that afterwards. But let us first go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 41. Genesis, chapter number 41. It says, it's a very big chapter, huge chapter. You know, Pharaoh had a dream. But we will not go into all the scripture. We will start off from verse number 16. Now listen carefully, even as I'm reading the scripture. Verse number 16. So Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, now this is the dream Pharaoh saw. Okay. Behold, in my dream, I stood on the bank of the river. Suddenly, 7 cows came up out of the river, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first 7, the fat cows. When they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So I awoke. Also, I saw in my dream, and suddenly 7 heads came up on one stalk, full and good. Then behold, 7 heads withered, thin and blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them, and thin heads devoured the 7 good heads. So I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the 7 thin and ugly cows, which came up after them, are 7 years. And the 7 empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. Okay, this is the first interpretation, the first interpretation of the dream that Pharaoh had. Now listen to me. Listen to me. It says Pharaoh had a dream. In the dream, first dream, he saw seven fat, very healthy cows that came out of the at the river, and there were another seven thin and ugly cows. He saw the ugly cows eating what? The fat cows. Okay. Then he saw another dream. He went back to sleep. Another dream he had as soon as he went back to sleep. He saw these grain heads on the stalk, seven of them. Very beautiful, very, you know, those were good looking and blighted. But there were another seven of them that came up that were not blighted, that were not good looking, and those seven of them ate the seven heads. Now, that is how, listen to me, when the God said, the word that goes forth from my mouth. What? Listen to me, stay with me. What does the Bible says in the book of Joel and in the book of Acts chapter number 2? In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, that your sons and daughters may prophesy, your young men shall dream, have visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. That is the language of the end time with which God will communicate. And the language of God of the end time is vision, dreams, prophecies. In other words, when you club vision, dreams, and prophecies together, what it is called is God will communicate to his people in a mystery. Okay? In a what? In a mystery. And listen to me, because when God releases the word to manifest, not everyone can understand it. Only the person who has the Spirit of God, like Joseph, in whom dwells the Spirit of the Lord of God. Pharaoh said that. This is the man who has the Spirit of God. This is the man. And I will give him the authority. The next to me, only the throne shall separate him from me. So, when the word of God comes, it comes hidden in a mystery. Not everyone can understand it. But only the one who is a steward can catch a hold and be a receptor and can unveil the frequency to unveil the interpretation, what the mystery means. Okay, stay with me, listen to me. The end time language is vision, dream, and prophecy. When you club all these three together, it is called a mystery. God speaks in a mystery. The word comes in a mystery. That's why the person who received the word, that was Pharaoh. Pharaoh received the word, but he himself did not understood it because it came in a mystery. It came in a mystery. Hallelujah. God, whenever God speaks anything, it will come in a mystery. The Bible is a book of mysteries. And only if you have eyes to see, ears to hear, and understand, you will understand the Bible. Otherwise, you will not. You know, the ministry of Jesus was the ministry of Isaiah the prophet. And you know what was the ministry of Isaiah the prophet? The ministry of Isaiah the prophet was the heavens proclaimed, who will go for me? Isaiah said, I will go. After his lips were cleaned. And God said, go and speak to them. Go and read afterwards Isaiah chapter number 6. Okay. God said, go and speak to them. You will speak the word and they will never understand it. Your words will make their ears heavy and their eyes closed, because the book of Isaiah is a mystery. And the people of Israel did not had the stewardship system, the Spirit of God in them to unveil the mystery, to understand it. And in that mystery was Jesus revealed. And when Jesus spoke to people, he spoke in mysteries. Didn't he speak in mysteries? Everything he spoke, Pharisees were never able to understand. Any man of God who speaks the word of God. He will speak in mysteries. He will speak mysteries. He will speak mysteries. Hallelujah. And then when he speaks to people, the people who catch a hold of the understand of the mystery, he will be able to pluck out that grain that from the harvest and say, Father, this is the one who belongs to you. That is apostolic ministry. Okay, stay with me. Hallelujah. Stay with me. May God give you the grace to understand tonight in Jesus' name. Stay with me. Listen, remember Matthew chapter number 16? Jesus said, what do people say I am? They said, some say you are Elijah. Some say you are one of the old prophet. Some say you are this, you are that. But who do you say I am? Peter answered and said, you are Messiah, the Christ who is to come. And Jesus said, listen. Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal it to you. But my Father unveiled the mystery and gave it to you. So I choose you as a rock, and on you I will build the church. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? God sends his word to heaven, from heaven, releases his word from his mouth. But the system of stewards will catch and unveil the mystery, dismantle the shell, the covering around it, and understand what is God saying. Aha, hallelujah. Amen. Daniel, the man of God, he could unveil mysteries. The Bible is a mystery, I'm telling you. Until you become a steward, you cannot understand this. You cannot understand this. You cannot understand the word of Jesus. All you will have are plain revelations that came out of the human understanding, not emerged from heaven, that what God originally intended to speak to you. A mystery is hidden from everyone, but it is only revealed to those who are stewards. You will ask me, how was Joseph a steward? Let me explain you the two conditions of the steward. What was the first condition? He waits on the master for the master to give him. The second condition is he acts on what he has received. Now, evaluate the life of Joseph from these two conditions. Joseph waited. Joseph waited to receive from the master's hand. Yes, he waited. From a young age, he had the gift of unveiling the mystery, because he saw his family bowing down before him. He saw, but he was put into the pit. He was put into slavery. He was put into the prison. But he never said, I am done. I am going to do some other business. But he waited on the master to fulfill what he has received. And secondly, the Bible is so clear. Even when he was in the prison, he went to the baker. He went to the wine bearer. And he told them, why are you so sad? What is the problem with you? Joseph was the one who was supposed to be sad after the tragedy that happened with him from his youth. But he is asking these people, why are you sad? Can I help you? That means he did not leave acting on the gifts that he received from the master. He continued to minister joy. He continued to minister the word of the master. Then the chief baker and the wine bearer said, we had dreams. He said, come on, tell me the dream. I will tell you its interpretation. He was in active service to God. That's why he could interpret dreams. Even in the prison, he waited upon the master to give him the position that was promised to him. He was a faithful steward. And secondly, he was God. He was continuing to work upon the gifts that he had. What gift you have? What gift you have? Even though you don't have a big ministry, act upon the gift and individually minister to people. Minister to the people. You know how I started? I started in my bedroom. I did not start with contacts and with money. I started in my bedroom. But what I did is, I knew I had gifts. So I sharpened my gifts. I waited upon the master to give me the position that he wants to give me by his own hands. And secondly, I would act. Those are the two conditions of a steward that Joseph fulfilled. And that's why a word that came from heaven, no one was able to interpret. The magicians, the sorcerers, the certificate holders of Egypt, not able to interpret. The first rankers in the school of sorcerers, the first rankers in the school of the wise men of Egypt, not able to interpret. But Joseph had the interpretation because he was the receptor of the released word from heaven. He was the receptor of the released word from heaven. Hallelujah. Listen to me. So, what was the dream? 7 fat, healthy cows ate up. The ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows. Okay. And then the ugly heads of grains ate up the 7 good grains, good heads. Now, he interpreted the dream and he said, the 7 fat cows are the 7 years of abundance where God will bless Egypt with abundance, with a release, and make Egypt fat, make Egypt healthy. But the 7 years, or the 7 cows which were ugly, that ate up the 7 years, the 7 cows which were healthy, were the 7 years, stay with me, 7 years of famine that would come after you will become fat. Okay? Now, Pharaoh said, how to deal with this? Joseph had a solution. He said, when in the 7 years of abundance, you receive, 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 you got to store those abundance. You got to store when you are getting in abundance. And when the 7 years of famine come, you got to use what you have stored in the 7 years of famine. So that the 7 years of famine that are supposed to come is negated. Now, do you see the structure, the way the Lord works? Stay with me. Now, the dream was the 7 cows, ugly cows, eat up the 7 fat cows. But was it the will of God to happen as per the dream? No, it was not the will of God to happen as per the dream. There was a mystery that had to be unveiled, which is the wisdom of God to negate the negative dream that was seen. So listen to me. When a person gets a dream, the dream comes along with a veil of darkness around it. The dream comes along with a pinch of salt from the devil in it. There is the wisdom of God hidden in it. But that is also the will of the devil, which is more prominent when you see the dream. Are you understanding? Listen to me. What was Pharaoh highlighting in the dream? Why he was so terrified? Tell me. What was the prominent factor of the dream? What was it? It was the ugly cows eating the fat cows. How could it happen? So when you see a dream, the demonic factor is highlighted to your human mind. Hallelujah. For example, you saw a dream that you were driving and you were driving and you took a turn and you fell off the valley and you get up and what is highlighted in your human mind is that you fell off the valley terribly and you will die. Are you understanding? But there is a wisdom of God hidden in that dream to deal with the disaster that was shown to you. It was actually God releasing it to you. But when the dream passed through the first heaven, the second heaven, the demonic spirits manipulate the dream until it comes to your human conscience. And then when you actually see the dream, what will be highlighted to you is the negative aspect of the dream. People of God, has it happened to you? Has it happened to you? Say yes or no. Hallelujah. Otherwise, I will change the topic. Do you
see?
Yes. It has happened to me.
Yes, it has
happened. Yes, yes.
Yes.
What Pharaoh started to think is, the ugly cows ate the fat cows. Terrible. What is going to happen? Something bad is going to happen. The ugly grains ate the fat grains. Oh God, I am terrified. I am terrified. But Joseph had an answer. He said, it will happen. What you saw will happen. That's why God confirmed it with the second dream. But he had the wisdom that can locate the will of God in darkness. Stay with me. Hallelujah. 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 Even when death surrounds you, death is surrounding you, darkness is surrounding you. And the only thing that you can think is, I am destined to die. I am destined to end. But in the darkness that surrounds you, there is hidden a solution, a will of God hidden in a mystery. That is what Joseph told Pharaoh. This is supposed to happen, Pharaoh. This is supposed to happen. There are 7 years of famine coming, which will eat up all the produce, all the abundance and the fatness that were released in the first 7 years. But there is the will of God that I want to unveil to you. And the will of God is that this dream should be negated, should be canceled. That is how you operate in the realm of the dreams. You operate in the realm of the dreams. Hallelujah. People get dreams and they say, oh, I had a dream. It's just my mind. No, it's not your mind. It's the communication of heaven with you. It's the communication of demons with you. And God exposing what the demons will do in the time to come. Hallelujah to you. Listen to me. There was a will of God, and the will of God was the system of the release of the word. Stay with me. Now, listen to me. Hallelujah. If you go on eating and eating and eating, one day you ate, 2 days you ate, 3 days you ate, but you are not excreting, you are not going to the toilet, what will happen to you? Your body will burst. Your system will burst. Your intestines will burst. Yes. Hallelujah. If seeds are sown in a field, sowing, and crops are ripening, but there is no one to harvest the crops, what will happen? The crops will rot. The system of heaven is God keeps on releasing the word. And you receive the word, but never understand it, never act upon it. What you are becoming is, you are becoming spiritually obese. Listen to me, stay with me. Okay? And that is the mystery that was explained by Joseph for the redemption of Egypt and the redemption of the whole world in the time of famine. He said, listen to me. When you receive abundance, don't only eat to fatten your flesh, but also store it in the storage room, so that when the time comes, you will be able to release it. The meaning of it is, okay, come turn with me back to Isaiah 55. Now remember the dream of Pharaoh and come to Isaiah 55. What is the operation of the release of the word and the system that stores it on the earth? Is in Isaiah 55 again. And now let us read verse number 10. Isaiah 55, verse number 10. We know verse number 11, right? So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth shall never return to me void. But how will it happen? It's in verse number 10. It's in verse number 10. What it says? As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, and water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. This is the system. The water and the snow that comes from heaven signifies the word of God. The earth receives it, and the earth does not keep it for itself, but it goes through a process where it transforms the word into seed and bread and releases it to the sower and releases it to the eater. That is the system that is supposed to be set up on the earth. Okay? Hallelujah. Listen to me. The receiving of the word by the earth is we receiving, waiting on the master and receiving from him. Then the process where the earth gets fertile by the water and starts to produce food and seed is the understanding of the word that is sown in our human hearts. And then when it starts to produce the bread and seed is acting upon the word. Because when you act upon the word, you are given the authority to release the word. Write it down. Stay with me until now. When you act upon the word, you are given the authority to release the word. Now, coming back to the scripture which says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Means Jesus is talking about the people of Israel, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. Okay, stay with me. He is saying they received from Genesis until Malachi. Prophets were sent to the nation of Israel to give them the word, but they never acted on the word, and that's why they did not release the word. Hallelujah. So the harvest, you know, the wheat heads have grown ripe and it is time for it to be plucked out, but they are still there because there is no release. There is no harvesting. Are you understanding? There is no harvesting. Why there is no harvesting? Because the stewards of God are not acting upon the word of God. Until they are not acting upon the word of God, they cannot release the word of God. Acts chapter number 1, when you read that, it says, and this is an account of all that Jesus began not to teach, not to release, but to do and to teach. Hallelujah. To do and to teach. Now listen to me. This is how the word works. The word comes from heaven. There is a receptor, that is the earth, that is the hearts of the servants that are waiting upon the Lord, receives the word. And then there is the understanding that understands the word in their heart. And when they act on it, they become the stewards and the authoritative figure to release the word. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Why? Because he has done the word, and when he speaks the word, his words don't go empty. The Bible says Samuel became a prophet and he was favored by all Israel because none of the words that he spoke fell to the ground. Everything were like arrows hitting the bull's eye. It was fulfilled. That is what the word of God wants to do on the face of the earth. He wants to raise up those earthly vessels who can convert his word into seed and into bread and into food. And that is the system that is supposed to be placed on the earth for the will of God to manifest on the face of the earth by the system of stewardship. And now, coming back to the interpretation that Joseph gave. Joseph told Pharaoh, don't eat up all the produce when you have an abundance. Store it up. Store it up. Store it up. And after you store it up, when the 7 years of famine come, you release it to feed the people so that Egypt will not vanish away. Hallelujah. Are you understanding now? Are you understanding now? You know, in 2021, the Lord told me it's the season of storing up the word in the spirit man. Hallelujah. When the days of famine come, so that the word that you have stored up and you are acting on, you will be given the authority to release it so that the seven ugly cows will not be able to eat the seven fat cows. Hallelujah. Are we understanding now? Are we understanding now? So, listen to me. So, the budding and the release of the seed and water signifies acting on the word to bear fruit. Turn with me to Matthew's chapter number 13. Matthew's chapter number 13. Hallelujah. And this is the parable of the sower starting from verse 18. But let me go to verse number 23. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and what? Understands it, interprets it. Who indeed bears fruit is acting on the word and then releases, produces. See that? That is Isaiah 55. The rain comes upon the earth and the earth receives it and produces bread and seed, produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, question to you is, in the parable of the sower, what signifies the ground? What signifies the ground? Your heart, my heart. Now, in the prophecy of Isaiah, who is the earth? Your heart, my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in the dream that Pharaoh saw, who is the storeroom? Your heart, my heart. Are we understanding? Listen to me. It's not that God is not doing anything. Every day, he is giving you abundance. While he is giving you abundance, start to meditate and store it in your heart and start to act upon it. The Bible says, those who receive the seed on good ground, in good hearts, are what? They are the one who hear the word and understand it. This is the time of abundance you are living in, people of God. The times of famine are coming. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Isaiah 55, Matthew's 13, okay? And Genesis 41. The storeroom, is your heart there? In Genesis 41, Matthew's 13, the ground is your heart, and that signifies Isaiah 55. The dew, the water, the snow, the rain that is released from heaven, the word, and the earth receives it, the ground, that is our heart. That is our heart. I remember in 2020, when I was on a long fast, and on the 15th or the 16th day of the fast, I got up early in the morning. I woke up early in the morning and I went to the toilet. And I switched on the tap and there was no water. I was high in the spirit because I was fasting and I did not speak to anyone from a long time. So I was very high in the spirit. Little things will bring me revelations because I was very high in the spirit that time. So I just switched on the tap, water tap. The water did not come through. I said, how will I wash my face? How will I wash my hands? Water is not coming through. Then beside the wash basin, I had a bucket of water filled with water. I said, oh, I can use the water. Then the Holy Spirit showed up there. And he said, Rahul, when there is a famine like this of the word, you will have to store up the word in the bucket. And when the famine comes, when people will search for water, you will have the water to give them. You will have the food to give them. I am telling you, I am prophesying. Take this as a prophetic voice. The times you are living in are good times. It's the time of abundance. It's the time of abundance. Abundance of the water of heaven. Abundance of the dew of heaven. You are receiving it. You are receiving it. But don't get fat. Store it up in your spirit, man. Are you understanding? Don't get spiritually obese. You know, when you get spiritually obese, you just receive it, and do nothing with it. It is making you spiritually obese. Hallelujah. Are we understanding it? What Joseph said, 7 years of abundance. We are living in those years of abundance. Abundance of the Rhema word of God. God is speaking, but some people are distracted. Some people are hearing, not understanding. Some people are understanding, not working upon it. But when you understand and work upon it, you know what you become? You become a releaser of the seed to the sower and the bread to the eater, because the years of famine are coming in. Okay, let me summarize. I started off with God. Oh God, hallelujah. If there is a famine that the devil is bringing, God knows it. But God wants to negate that famine with his wisdom. Are you tonight ready to tap into his wisdom? Hallelujah. Are you tonight ready to store up the word of God? The earth stores up the water. Do you know the water in the earth is so old? The earth has the capacity to store up water for 1,000 years. God wants to make you that earth who can store up water for 1,000 years. That whenever the earth wants crops, it can produce it. Do you know the earth exists from so many years? And people say, oh, you know, it's the end of the earth. And no, the end of the earth has never come, because the earth has the capacity to store up so much of water in it that so many generations are eating from it. And so many generations will continue to eat from it because it has stored the dew of heaven in it. And God wants to make your heart like the earth that stores up the water, that stores up the snow from heaven, that stores up the dew from heaven and converts it to the seed to the sower and bread to the eater when it is time for you to release. When it is time for you to release. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, remind yourself of whatever God spoke to you, but you never acted on it. Tonight is the time to take a decision to act upon it by faith. Act upon it by faith. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you help me to build this system on earth that can catch your word, O Lord, and convert it and release it into the productivity line to produce seeds and what and bread, in the name of Jesus Christ. Set up the system through the hearts of people tonight. Set up the system of servanthood, of stewardship, through the hearts of people tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Rebos korobos korobonde. Merobos tiam prantoyo safralto. Ravol zevreto ravavavava. e pronto yoroborobos sebrebe tekera mandra malto rebele e yambra de rese e zeketerebe. Let the light of the revelation and the wisdom of God be released in your hearts tonight. Be released in your hearts tonight, that every negative dream that you saw, you will be negate, you will be able to negate it with the wisdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Lord is saying the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Who are the laborers? The laborers are the faithful stewards who can harvest the grain that has ripened. Hallelujah. And who are faithful stewards? Who do the word of God, and then they are not afraid to speak the word of God. Who do the word of God, and then who are not afraid to speak the word of God, to teach the word of God, to release the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Razeketeyam prabantu. Em prabaraba. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. The stewards are few. Lord, I pray to you tonight, raise up laborers for the harvest. Raise up laborers for the harvest who can convert the word in the earth, O Lord, hallelujah, into the seed to the sower and the bread to the eater. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Rabroko yamprala. People of God, these are the time of abundance. God is speaking in this time. Just receive and store in your spirit, man. Just receive and start to store it in your heart. How you will store it in your heart? Psalm chapter number 1. Hallelujah. It says, he who meditates on the word. Hallelujah. Meditates on the word. Continues to listen from him. Continues to wait upon the master as a faithful steward. Not does his own, but continues to wait on the master as a steward. Hallelujah. Listen to me. 80% of the revelation that God wants to teach you is through obedience and not through a theology school. Yes, 80% of the sermons that God wants to teach you is through obedience and not through a theological teaching school. It's through obedience. You know what? Oh Lord, it's through obedience. It's through obedience. Hallelujah. That is how God wants to teach you. And that's why he will put you in situations where he will give you a chance to obey. And when you obey that certain word, he will give you the authority to release the word. He will store every word that you obey is stored up in the earth, is captured in your heart. Hallelujah. Every word that you obey is captured in your heart. Oh God, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know what? Hallelujah. I am an undergraduate. I did not need graduation because God wanted to teach me something. The way I speak is not because I have certificates. The way I speak is only because of the grace. Only because of the grace. I am an undergraduate because God wanted to teach me something. Hallelujah. I did not had, when I passed my higher school, I wanted to become a Navy officer and I went into the Navy college. But at that time, my family was in debt, so we were not able to pay, they were not able to pay the fees. And then in that Navy college, when I was frustrated, I said, I want to do the Navy. At that time, Jesus encountered me. He came to me in my room physically, in my hostel room, and he encountered me. And after that encounter, he told me, go back to your home and leave Navy. And I went back to my home. After I went back to my home, the Lord led me to do a job. So I wanted to do a job, but to do that job, I wanted my certificates that were in the college. So we went to the college and 3 days we requested the college and I prayed. I said, Lord, now when I'm walking in your ways, please release the certificates so that I can pursue my career. I prayed a lot. I requested them We went to the college, and every time we went, they said, no, you give us this amount of money, otherwise we will not give it. At last, we saw that they were not giving it. So I gave up hopes, and I came back in that city to the hotel room. And when I came back, Lord, I did not had my certificates. And the Lord told me, I am your certificate. And when he told me, I am your certificate, I rejoiced on the street. All my depression, all my whatever I was feeling went away. And I told my mom, you know what? Because we were into a different city. Let's go to a good restaurant and have some good chicken. Let's go. Because God told me, I am your certificate. Hallelujah. If God did not put me there, I would never would realize the revelation of the joy of the Lord. And whenever such situations come, I remember what happened with me there. Because when I obeyed the Lord that time, rejecting my own thoughts, Lord told me, I believe you. What the Lord stored in my ground, in my heart, in my spirit man, was the revelation of the joy of the Lord. From that time, the devil was never able to snatch it away. That is the power of the word of God that you store up. That is the power. So what I'm saying is, 80% of the revelations God will teach you, not in a theological seminar. He will teach you by putting into pressure. He will teach you by putting into situations. And when you are obedient to the Lord in those situations, submissive to the Lord, you are storing up words by revelation. You are storing up words with conviction. Hallelujah. From that time, it has been 11 years now. Until now, yes, he has been my certificate. He has been my license to preach. He has been. Hallelujah. God is my license that I preach. God is my license that I teach. I am not even a graduate, but it's his grace. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, God will put you into situations. He will teach you. And when you obey him, those revelations you will never forget. You will never forget. It is stored in your spirit. Hallelujah. The word that goes forth from my mouth will never return unto me void. But are you ready to be the storage box of that word that he can release it to the world, that through you, he can bring to the nations the gospel of the kingdom? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke spiritual obesity. I rebuke spiritual obesity. Like the people of Israel, received, never acted on it, never did anything with it, never tried to understand it, never tried to meditate on it. And that's why they never released it and they became spiritually obese. Oh Lord, and God does not want the cow to be spiritually obese. God wants the cow to store it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the years of famine will not be able to destroy. There are years where the heavens will be closed. But you know who will be the carrier of heaven? You will be the carrier of heaven. That is what God told me. When the heavens are closed and I am not able to release my water, you will be my heaven, through whom I will release my fire to the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. Rabrakataya. You know, in the time of Elijah, heavens were closed by Jezebel, but Elijah's altar was the one that really bring down fire, attracted fire. And God wants you to be, you are waiting for revival, you become the carrier of revival. You are waiting for fire to come, you become the carrier of fire. You are waiting for the word to come, you first become the carrier of the word. Because the years of famine is coming and Josephs will arise. To save the nations of the earth, and prime ministers and presidents will bow down to Joseph. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I had a dream. An apostle who is used across the nations of the earth, came to me in the dream. And he told me in the dream, he pointed out the finger at me. And he said, you are the Joseph, the solution to the economic crisis of Egypt that are going to come. He did it like this to me. And then I started to meditate. I understood what is going to come upon the face of the earth. A famine of the word is going to come upon the face of the earth. People will not have the word. They will open the Bible, but they will notch their hairs saying, we don't understand the Bible. Oh God, that is the time the store of house of Joseph shall be opened. That is the time your heart will open and will start to pour out on the nations of the earth. Store the word of God. Store the abundance that you are getting in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful time. Help us, Lord. Oh, Lord, to act upon your word, Lord. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this wonderful time once again. I cover each and every person who are here in the meeting with the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for your wisdom to rest upon them in the name of Jesus Christ, that they will be the thwarters and the demolishers of the blueprint of the enemy that the enemy wants to do in the name of Jesus Christ. I cover all of us with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we ask. Amen.